Can you make this quick? I got a meeting.
Oh, is he ready? Oh, please. We cannot leave Joel Klatt waiting. He is presented by Audi Flatirons, and he joins us now. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Is Philip Rivers a Hall of Famer? And what is his legacy among Broncos country? You're probably a Philip fan, aren't you?
I mean, I love the fire that he plays with. Is he a Hall of Famer? Gosh, I'd never thought of that. I think I would have to go and look at his numbers. I mean, I don't really know what his numbers are like, but he hasn't done much.
Let me give you this. 8-time Pro Bowler. Fifth all-time in yards, fifth all-time in touchdown passes, and I think fifth all-time in total completions.
Man, that's hard to argue with, although I will say, like, in his era, he had little to no postseason success as compared to his, like, contemporaries, right? Like, I'm trying to make the argument again. Instead, I would say, yes, he had those incredible numbers, but, I mean, he didn't even get to a Super Bowl. So, from that perspective, I guess it makes it harder?
Yeah, you know, the crazy thing is that, you know, he played for the Chargers. The crazy thing to me is Eli Manning won 2 world championships, was 117 and 117 in his career, and from a number standpoint, can't hold a candle to Philip Rivers, who's top 5 in almost every category. So,
and you would probably, like if you were a GM, I'm sure you guys have talked a lot about GM decisions. Like, if you had a decision to make between Eli Manning and Philip Rivers, I don't think it's much of a decision. I think that's Philip Rivers all day long. Yeah. I don't know if you guys agree.
Yeah, totally agree.
Totally agree. But Eli's probably a slam dunk for the Hall of Fame, right? 2 Super Bowls?
Oh, for sure.
2 Super Bowls, did it in New York?
Not only did it in New York, but the teams that he beat, you know, he didn't go there and beat some like upstart team that happened to make it. He beat the undefeated Patriots. He beat the Patriots again in Indianapolis. I think that was like 3 days after Mike had absolutely pounded a fried cheeseburger, just housed it, just like straight to his mainline artery. It was amazing. You know. And then the Giants went out and beat the Patriots.
Yep.
So I think
There were 2 miracles that week.
Well, I didn't kill D-Mac that night.
That's a third miracle, actually. There were 3 miracles that week.
Oh, man. I don't even know. Like, the fact that you didn't die from that cheeseburger is one of them.
You would have to think if there were 3 categories.
They shoveled into the sausage!
You should have seen that. There were 3 categories that you would qualify for a Hall of Fame, and we could only put you in one, it would either be the ginormous head Hall of Fame, the mom gene Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. or the housing fried cheeseburger Hall of Fame, which one would you go into? Serious question. Because I can see all 3 of them. I can see that you passed the confetti test on all 3 of them, the Joel Klatt confetti test.
There's no doubt. The huge head Hall of Fame, Mike is like the charter member.
Yeah. He's at the big kids table on that one.
But that cheeseburger. Joel is not easily impressed. Joel is a Richard Nine at times, so he's not easily impressed. You were in awe that night.
Well, if you remember, that was like our first month together.
Yeah.
So here's the experience I have is I get this new job. I'm working with Mike, who's been on the radio. I'd listened to him my whole life, you know, for most of my adult life. I was so excited to get this new opportunity at the Fan. And my first 2 experiences with him are that he gets a Tim Tebow tattoo our first week.
Uh-huh.
And then he houses his fried cheeseburger. And I was like, now it's a party. This guy is all balls.
Yeah.
Yes.
What an experience.
That was quite a week in Indy. We did. We both of us wanted to kill D-Mac because he was staying with us and he had a cot. And, you know, we got to get up early in the morning.
Right.
And, you know, he comes rolling in at like, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning and he immediately is on his phone. And his phone is like, he's still got this, like, I think he still has it. It's like a BlackBerry. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And everything is click, 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 click. Okay. Right.
Yeah, you can hear like every button that he pushed.
And he is, you know how he is on Twitter.
Yeah.
And he's just like, and not only is he like clicking away, he's like, He's doing like his own little commentary as he's clicking away. Yeah. And he's like, ha, yeah, I got this one. Yeah, ha, ha, that's good. It. You know, and.
I thought I was going to snuff him out. I thought I was going to put a pillow right over his face and just be like, listen, we're going to deal with the consequences, but we're going to fall asleep first.
That's right. I'm serious. He was that close, and I was that close to not stopping him. That's how that went. I know you're a Broncos fan, so any thoughts on the George Payton hire?
I don't know him all that well, to be honest with you. I'm interested. You know, this organization, for my entire life, I'm 38. I was born in 1982. All I know from the time that I can remember is that this organization has been about championships. That's what Mr. Bowen was about. Mark, you played and won championships with this organization. I would say that outside of the last, you know, 5 years, this has been one of the most proud and successful organizations in the National Football League. You cannot even remotely go find from 1985 on until 5 years ago, you can't find, you know, much of a stretch of time where Denver wasn't at least a player in the AFC. And a lot of that had to do with John Elway, obviously, when you got a great quarterback, a Hall of Fame level quarterback, one of the top five quarterbacks of all time, maybe the best and most talented quarterback of all time. That's going to happen. But even without him, they were competing at the highest level, going to divisional rounds, going to AFC championship games. Even when the Bills won four in a row, one of those Bills teams had to beat the Denver Broncos in the AFC championship game, going to Super Bowls. I say all that just to say that I think that there was really one constant. And when you look around the league and really across professional sports, guys, the most successful organizations are the ones that have a great standard bearer as the owner or the ownership group. And I don't think you can overcome that. In fact, I think it's virtually impossible to overcome it. So regardless of who the GM is, I think that Denver needs to figure out their ownership issues. And until that happens, I don't have much faith that this is going to turn around. Even though I know, listen, I'm well aware that the owner doesn't make football decisions and so on and so forth. There is far too much evidence out there of poor ownership groups or a lack of solid ownership group. And you see those organizations, they just never have sustained success. And so I just have a very hard time in my heart as a fan, knowing its history, knowing the history of the league and the successful franchises in the league. I have a really hard time believing that Denver is going to somehow magically come out of this until they figure out this ownership problem.
Yeah, I think it's legitimate, and you're 100% right about, you know, bad ownership. I mean, it is the pillar. You know, we used to say it all the time, even when we were here, we had this mantra in the locker room. You know, we win games, owners own, coaches coach, and the players play. And that's like there's this hierarchy. You know, this actually things that you adhere to as a franchise. Let me ask you just about the recruiting aspect, because You cover the college game and how important building a roster is. And in your game, it's about recruiting the right type of players. How connected, because this organization to me needs to be connected from a coaching standpoint, a philosophical standpoint. What is our identity that we're building? We have to go about doing that based upon what we believe wins. How important is that in the college game with the teams that you cover, the Ohio States and the Alabamas and all the great teams that you cover? How tied in are they on what their philosophy is and the type of player that they want to get?
I mean, completely dialed in. You know, nobody has success at the college level without having their recruiting, not only from a talent perspective, dialed in, but also from an identity perspective dialed in. Who are we? How do we win? Where are we going? How are we going to get there? You know, I think that is overlooked. And generally what happens is that if that's not clearly defined for you by either in the college ranks, it's the head coach and just the overall, you know, like system. This is who we are. And at the NFL level, generally that happens from the owner. I know that that's pretty high, but generally that happens from the owner. And then that kind of like trickles down. And here's what happens. I've actually gotten this question. Like, what happens? Why do teams not have success without really solid ownership groups? And the difference is because the standard can change and the definition of who you are can change. And those organizations or programs in college, they're constantly changing their coaches. What they do, Mark, is they chase identity. And they think like, well, that looks good over there. We want to be like that. Or that looks good over there. We want to be like that. And they don't have a very good identity of in terms of what they buy into and what they are. Okay. And so they're constantly chasing. Well, when you change and you try to shift, that's a monumental thing. When you're trying to shift what your organization or program is, how you recruit, the type of player you get, sign, recruit, so on and so forth. That is a monumental shift. It takes years. It's like the rudder on the Titanic, man. You are not getting out of the way of that iceberg. And the organizations that constantly succeed are the ones that generally have a great idea of how they win, who they want to play for them, the type of players that they want to play for them. And because of that, they can continue going in their straight line. And the organizations that are constantly trying to chase, change, and manufacture their identity are the ones that can never get there. They can never get to their destination. So I think it is the most important thing at the college level is defining who you are, how you want to succeed, and then recruiting the type of athlete that not only can do that from a skill standpoint, but also fits your culture and your operation. And I think at the NFL level, we don't talk about it as much because we don't talk about the recruiting of free agents. We just think that it's all dollars and cents. And yes, that's clearly a part of it. But I think that there's an element to the culture of the recruiting and free agency that helps organizations continue to be successful from year in and year out. But that, to me, Mark, I think you hit it on the head. I think that's of the utmost of importance.
Yeah. Good Titanic reference. Didn't we? I think we did an acting scene out of Titanic once.
I'm almost certain that we did.
Didn't we also agree that Rose should have moved over? There was room. There was room.
Yes. Like, totally. I don't understand that. It's like, oh, hey, let me just float on this plank that there's room for two of us while you sink to the bottom of the icy ocean. Like, great love story. What? Like, what are we doing? Like, hold on tight. We'll try to survive this together. Not like, oh, here's my whistle. I'll just sink to the bottom. What? Stupid.
George Payton came out yesterday and said, stability at the quarterback position is important, but you can win without a franchise quarterback. Do you agree with that? No. Okay.
Wrong. Totally wrong. Totally wrong. I would have just, like, literally, someone just raised your hand and like, oh, yeah, can you provide any evidence of that?
Well, he said we went to the playoffs in Minnesota with six different quarterbacks.
Okay, so we're trying to go to the playoffs now? George, I'm sorry. This is the Denver Broncos, not the Minnesota Vikings. Hey, we try to win championships here.
After the last five years, the goal
is not to just get to the playoffs.
After the last 5 years, I think that would feel pretty good right now.
Let's go back into the philosophical conversation. Just because you haven't had ultimate success does not mean that you lower your standard of success, right? Like, this period should not lower the standard of success. That would be a change. That would be a cultural change. That would be a chase. That's a short-term game. So what do you do? Okay. Well, let's go sign who homeboy wants to sign. And who, I don't know who it is. And you get to the playoffs. Great. And then Mahomes thumps you. Or Allen thumps you. Or Mayfield thumps you. Or any of the quality young quarterbacks throughout, maybe it's Herbert. I don't know. And they thump you. And then you're sitting there and guess what? You're in the same situation, not winning the Super Bowl behind the same teams that you need to get above in order to win the Super Bowl. I think that that's I don't want to disparage, but I just think that that's completely wrong. That All is right. 100% wrong.
Okay, then let me follow up then. If he is available and the Broncos are on his trade list, how far would you go to land Deshaun Watson? At what point would the asking price get to be too much for you?
It's a great question. I would absolutely go after and exhaust all options. So I don't know what that line is. You know, to be honest with you, it's hard not sitting here with like the cap numbers and everything. What are you doing to your roster overall?
Let's say it's three number ones and a player and like a young player, like a Fant or Judy. Three number ones and Fant and or Judy. Would you do it?
I would do it. I would do it for, I would try to keep Judy. I would do it for Fant and two ones and a three. Like I'm talking about like I would go as far. I don't think I would do three ones, but man, I'd get close, guys. Again, this is all as a exhaust all options. Deshaun Watson is a quarterback that passes the confetti test. He is a quarterback that could potentially compete with and maybe even supplant, depending on the type of roster that you could build around him, Patrick Mahomes within the division. I know that that seems like heresy because Mahomes is the $500 million man, but he's that good and he's that competitive. Think of what he did. Clemson is not Clemson without Deshaun Watson. Okay? Like this guy has shown the ability, even in a terrible organization like Houston, to the ability to put the organization on his back and go win games. This guy is a bona fide, proven franchise quarterback. Exhaust all options.
Anybody in this draft, and I know it's early coming into this draft, that you look at and said, that dude for me, beyond Trevor Lawrence, that dude for me passes the confetti test. Any other guy in this coming draft?
Everyone else is a little hard for me. I would say, like, if you just threw Watson in that conversation, I would say Lawrence, Deshaun Watson, maybe the other way around, and then everybody else is a wait and see. I'm not sure about everybody else in the draft. I think that that's unproven at this point. I think that there are some really good players. I don't want to disparage, but unproven at this point. That's why if you could get a Deshaun Watson, man, I would absolutely go full force at that.
A few weeks ago,
GM is sitting there saying you don't need a franchise quarterback to win in this league, great signal to, like, that's not good recruiting for Deshaun Watson. Yeah. Don't need it. Come on.
Real quick.
Oh, I mean, come on, right? Like, let's be honest, Mike. Like, who's it? Jeez. The reason you're in Minnesota.
Ooh.
Give me a break.
Ooh. Oh.
Well, what have they done?
Wow.
What have they done?
Well.
What have they done?
They've been, what, 48 and 50, no, 50 and 36 in the same span that the Broncos have gone, like 28 and 48. I mean, they've won games.
How many playoff wins?
They went to an NFC championship game with Case Keenum.
Okay. Well, all right. We're signing Case Keenum again?
Well, I wouldn't put anything out of reach right now. All right. Well, hey, thank you. Hey, listen, this is why we have you on.
Because I
would say pretty much the response to George Payton has been very, very positive, and you just, you know, poured a little cold water on it like only you can.
Well, it's all about the Lombardi Trophy, guys. It really is.
Okay.
All right. I love it.
You'd be amazed how many Titanic texts we've received in the last 5 minutes saying that you're completely wrong. Jack tried to get on. And the door started to sink.
No. I
think Mythbusters,
first of all,
by the way.
I don't know it to that degree. I do remember that movie is overall overrated because all DiCaprio does is run around shouting Rose. Like, Rose! Rose! It's like, can you stop shouting Rose?
I love you. Thank you, Joel.
Thanks, Joel.
Have a good one, fellas.
Joel Klatt. Presented by Audi Flat Irons. We cover a lot of territory.
Yeah, a lot of ground.
We went from Rose, Jack, Titanic, fried cheeseburgers. I mean, it was
the whole gamut.
Choking out D-Mac, snuffing out D-Mac. I mean, we cover the whole gamut with Joel. Love it.